Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19, And they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. Now this passage describes those of an anti-Christ element with which John was dealing. It is also descriptive of the liberal and digressive element that has arisen in the church over the past few decades. There are those who were once with us, but they've gone out from us. And when they went out, they showed they were no longer of us. And because they were not of us, they left. The fact that they left shows that they're not of us. Now, in time past, when digressive movements erupted in the church, those promoting the innovations and the divisions at least had the honesty to leave the church. But today, liberals have no integrity whatsoever. They remain within the ranks of brethren in order to sow their seeds of apostasy, taking over properties, deceiving the ignorant and the naive, and presenting themselves to be loyal brethren, but they lie and do not the truth. Oh, it's not a new thing for heretics to arise. Apostasy has been a historical fact of church life. The brotherhood has often suffered defections, and sometimes of great magnitude, because some became malcontent with the Word of God and decided that they are wiser than God. But there's a major difference in today's group of disgruntled troublers. As noted, they do not always go out from us. Today they seek to maintain fellowship, and with some they're allowed to do so, through compromise and through cowardice, through people who prefer fellowship more than truth. These heretics have their plans and their purposes and their methods and their goals to restructure the church, to make it into another denomination, acceptable to denominations. They could not be successful in their wicked destruction if they would just go on their own way, so they stay. Now, just why people who say they love the Lord will go along with these church dividers and disturbers, we cannot tell, except that they too must love men more than the truth. Some will even say they do not agree with the liberal elements, but they continue to invite them to their pulpits and their lectureships and their classrooms and workshops. They quote their material. They send their youths to absorb their heresies. They support their functions. They attend their rallies. And they just go along as if those people who are digressive are faithful to God. Some willingly ignore and disobey 2 John 11 that forbids extending Godspeed to such people. Some act as if Romans 16:17 that commands these false teachers to be marked, they act like that passage was never written. Come ye out from among them never crosses the mind of some people. Prohibition of fellowshipping evil works of darkness, some people just will not apply that to themselves. They march in step with those who are destroying the church in our time. To have peace, they gladly sacrifice truth. And they often join these apostates in denouncing those who would oppose digressive error. In this lesson, we're going to consider what they do and why they want to do it, citing from their own words and their own positions how they intend to take the church, if they can, into the religious pits of denominationalism. Now, there are things that brethren have done that they refuse to do anymore. They refuse not because what they've done is wrong, but they refuse it to do anymore because they want something new. Regardless of the lack of authority behind it, they want something new. And they call whatever has been done previously traditionalism. Well, now, a tradition is something that's been handed down. But they fail to discern between human traditions, which are not God's law, and apostolic tradition, 2 Thessalonians 3:6, and that is God's law. And they ridicule what those before them have done, and obviously think their new ways are superior. And I send forth this challenge. Let the liberals name the tradition of men which we bind as if it was God's law. Either do it, or have the decency to hush, but I predict they will do neither one. Oh, how they scoff at two songs, a prayer, a song and a sermon, and the invitation. Well, friend, what's so offensive about that? What tradition do they think they could establish that would substitute for something better than what they deride? Oh, they blaspheme the Lord's Supper and call it talking or taking juice and crackers. Well, God forbid such talk as that. They agree to do some things, although it's difficult to get them to speak plainly with a certain sound. They speak mush that can be taken most any way. And when objection is raised, oh, they whine, oh, you misunderstood me. But they speak with a forked tongue in order to please men, win support, subvert churches, and get crowds. And again, friend, liberals lie. They are trying to see how much change they can bring in without somebody objecting. They even admit to doing that. They say push and then back off, and then push some more and then back off. The only thing of which they speak plainly is their contempt for those who do not agree with them and follow their lead. And they are not the kind, loving, non-judgmental, tolerant people they claim to be. And they are very negative toward anything negative. They condemn those who condemn anything, even sin, except when they want to condemn something. And especially do they condemn those who oppose their digressive ways. When was the last time you heard a liberal emphasize the necessity to obey God? Why, they call that legalism. They say we must develop human potential and make people feel good. To talk too much of obeying is too restrictive. That's too demanding. They no longer contend for the faith because they contend they can't really know what the truth is anyway. They think that we can just search for the truth, but truth is too elusive to ever say really what it is. But how certain they are about what they say. What they say they contend is absolutely it. They accept just about anything and oppose nothing and criticize only those who contend for the old paths, and the only ones who are really wrong are those who say we ought to be right. They deny the Church of the New Testament has been or can be or should even be restored. They want fellowship with denominations, and they are actively engaged in that pursuit. They especially intend to bring union between Churches of Christ with the Christian Church denomination. Oh, they say they want unity, but what they really want is fellowship in spite of division. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" They want us to be like our religious neighbors, shades of Israel, wanting to be like the nations round about. And while we're taught to be of the same mind, same judgment, follow the same rule, this is not what they want. To have the union they crave, they would accept instrumental music, theistic evolution, clapping, humming, choirs, special music with solos, baby dedications, Easter and Christmas as religious holy days, false doctrines on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, premillennialism, women preachers, making worship a holy wow, teaching that the church is not the kingdom, and Jesus therefore failed, and a host of other false doctrines and practices contrary to Scripture. No, liberals have forsaken the Bible as their guide. And what a farce is this thing called the New Hermeneutics. Friend, hermeneutics simply refers to principles for interpreting the Bible, principles for getting the meaning of the Bible. Now, we do not interpret differently. When we get God's meaning, we'll stand together. If we stand separated, somebody, maybe both, are guilty of misinterpreting. We must rightly divide the word of truth. But you see, they reject what they sneeringly refer to as pattern theology. Have they no mind and no ability to read God's word? Cannot they know as well as any other that following God's pattern for doing things is inherent in following God? But they will allow each one to so-called interpret as they see fit, to each his own, with as many meanings as there are people. But how they howl if somebody did their writings like that. And they assume the right for people to do God's writings like that. Just give it whatever meaning you want. They would not like for people to give what they say whatever meaning suits them. But they will allow people to do that to the Word of God. No, this new hermeneutic thing is nothing more than what men have done since the Garden of Eden. It's the same old, you go your way, I'll go mine, everything is beautiful in its own way, do your own thing, nobody's right, nobody's wrong, whatever cuts your butter, spread it, I'm okay, you're okay. Friend, that doesn't even make good sense. And yet that's the philosophy behind the new hermeneutics that the liberals promote. Liberals today detest being different from the denominational world. They not only extend fellowship to denominations, as we've already noted, but they often hold joint services with them, at which time they will usually bring laughter from the audience when they ridicule churches of Christ. They contend that they are faithful Christians in all denominations, and I ask, just how can that be? Since we learn about Christians in the Bible, but we read nothing of denominations anywhere in the Bible. But that doesn't seem to bother the liberal. They seek the approval of their neighbors, not the Lord. They no longer believe in the exclusive nature of the gospel, that there is but one body, and that there is a distinctive gospel plea. They condemn as judging anybody that would say somebody might be lost or will not go to heaven. Now that God demands making judgments, that seems it has no influence on them whatever. They want to be accepted by the religious world. And they are turned away from the conviction of the all-sufficiency of Scripture. They rely heavily on a direct operation of the Holy Spirit, special leadings and feelings, and suggestively reached conclusions. And how they ridicule book, chapter, and verse preaching. And those who do that kind of preaching are called Bible thumpers. Now this betrays the level of love they have for the Bible and for those who hold to the Bible. One has said, if the Church of Christ were to continue to be what it was when I was growing up, I would not want my children to be a member of it. Well, he'll get his wishes all right. But we wonder, why does this apostate not just leave the church and leave it alone since he detests it so? No, he wants to stay with it in order to draw away as many as he can into his apostasy. This same heretic said, I will no longer be concerned about what the Bible says. I will be concerned only about where the Holy Spirit leads me. Well, friend, the Spirit that is presently leading him is going to lead him to hell. The Holy Spirit leads and guides and directs us by and through the Word. One has contended that if Mrs. Noah wanted a master bedroom in the ark to be paneled with pecan timber, there would be nothing wrong with it, he said. Now, of course, God said to you'd go for wood, but this wiser-than-God scholar said it'd been okay to do something different. Who is God to cross what somebody wants? Now, those who teach Noah had to use gopher wood, they're ridiculed as gopher wood preachers. You see how they respect the need to be obedient? They ridicule the need for authority, Colossians 3, verse 17, notwithstanding. They have no respect for the silence of the Scripture. They assume they can do and add to whatever they provide for and whatever they want, if there's no specific and explicit, thou shalt not. And one has said, unless the Church of Christ changes their attitude toward instrumental music and social drinking and the denominations, they're doomed. Now, this man was, for many years, the president of one of our so-called schools. How liberals are willing to accommodate the world. Schools have been leading and driving forces in the current liberal digression. That nobody can successfully deny. Personally, I have only known one college president that gave evidence to me that he loved the church more than what he was advancing in his school, and that was Brother H.A. Dixon. If there have been others, I have not known them. Teachers and administrators, they just go along and even endorse false teachers in order to secure their faculties. Many so-called Bible teachers have secured their degrees from schools of error, and they've come back into our schools and brainwashed and contaminated the many unlearned and unsuspecting youth. They present themselves as the only minds that are still alive, and this has had a devastating impact on the Lord's church. One has said, if I were in a congregation where the will of that congregation and the decision of the elders was that the instrument was going to be used next week, I wouldn't mount the pulpit and condemn them and divide the church. Well, that heretic evidently cares nothing for the will of God above the will of digressives. How can a person claim to be a gospel preacher and make such a blasphemous statement as that? He has no self-respect and no honor left in him. Oh, but he's a big man, especially he was in the Jubilee in Nashville for many years. Leroy Garrett wrote in the Restoration Review in 1985, it is a risky business in the light of the Scripture to make immersion absolutely necessary to become a Christian. Well, my dear friend, the inspired writers of the New Testament were not afraid of that risky business because they made immersion absolutely necessary to become a Christian. Well, on and on such comments of similar nature, all leading to the same goal of reducing the church to just another religious and human denomination in order to be accepted by the world. That's liberalism. That's the way it is today. Historically, it is the larger city, well-moneyed, worldly churches that swallow this liberal garbage that the liberals pour forth. And many of them are merely aping what they've heard from the self-proclaimed experts. But some are so charismatic and personable and academically trained that they could, as my dad once said of a person, sell an Arab a barrel of oil for double the price when they belonged to the Arab all along. Now, they stress the love of God, although it's evident that they do not know what the Bible teaches about love because they disdain obedience. This is the love of God, that you obey His commandments. Oh, really? You mean God is going to save you regardless of what His law says? That's what one liberal wrote. They have no concept of biblical grace whatsoever. Obedience to them is salvation by works. But friend, there is no conflict between grace and law and obedience and love. Christians, some they say, are not ruled by codes and rules and church laws. Christians are ruled by principles led by the Spirit, by the nature of Christ, by Christian character, by heavenly wisdom. As one said, there ain't no such thing as church laws and rules and regulations. To which I respond, says who? Who made that rule and that regulation that this liberal was propagating? Dear friend, there are rules and there are things that men must do to obey God. The doctrines of the liberals completely destroy respect for biblical authority. And when they're not completely contradicting God's word, they're sowing seeds of doubt and confusion regarding what it does teach. They even question whether we have God's word. They contend that we cannot know anything for sure, except they are certain that they are right on everything. Now, some say liberals are sincere. They're just misled, that they just do not know. They just haven't seriously considered the evidence. Friend, there may be some like that who have blindly followed the blind, but the leaders of liberalism give every evidence of being dishonest. Not caring what truth is, they are deceitful, they are classic servants of the devil. They promote their distorted so-called versions of the Bible. They deny verbal and plenary inspiration of the Scripture. They scoff at the inerrancy and the infallibility of the Bible. They remove its authority and its divine origin. Oh, they love their feelings, and they claim a direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon them to the exclusion of others. And how they hate using logic to reach conclusions. And I can understand that because their conclusions are so illogical. They deny Scripture infers anything or that implications are authoritative. They say we're governed only by what is explicitly stated. Now notice this. But then they're not governed by what is explicitly stated. We are explicitly told not to add to or take from His word. But that does not mean them, according to their doctrine. And even so, where is the doctrine that is specifically and explicitly stated that we're bound only by what is explicitly mentioned? That's their doctrine. Where did they get it? Not from the Bible. It comes from their own desire to do whatever they want. And they use the printed page, the college classroom, the pulpits of liberal churches, big mammoth programs, and circus-type events to attract the naive and propagate their heresies among the gullible, the ignorant, the naive, laying emotionalism on thick and heavy, preaching hatred toward those who are determined to stay with God's word. What a sordid lot of evil people liberals are. Their words and works condemn them, dear friend. Beware of them. We cannot and we shall not surrender to their erroneous contentions. We will continue to speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4:11. We will continue to require authority for what we say and do in service to God, Colossians 3:17. We will indeed contend for the faith, Jude 3. We will stand for the Scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Now, who's going to be the top authority? Will it be me? Will it be you? Will it be some of these scholars? Will it be the preacher or some editor or the world or some theologian or some seminary or some program or some prominent liberal? Or shall we be content to let God be true and every man a liar? Romans 3 and verse 4. Friend, each one must make a decision in this matter. And I would encourage each one of us to be like Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. Now, you can do whatever you wish. But if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to go God's way. And you better make the only decision that you can make in this matter, and that's to go God's way. And I'm here to warn you, as kindly and as firmly as I know how, liberalism will damn your soul. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.